I've got about 18 minutes to get you all of this. So I hope you don't mind me get the condensed version. It's the concentrate. This is the Super Beats concentrate this morning. Praise God. Wasn't that wonderful this morning? Thank you, Phil and Christy. You're amazing. Thank you for being here. It was just so beautiful. So beautiful. And just to worship God. And you think of all the places in the world where you can't do that. Not in public, anyhow. And here we can do it. It's just so, so beautiful. Thank you. Why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And while you're turning there, well, let's go ahead and release our faith in our weekly confession. Ready? Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Praise God. Are you Matthew 16 yet? You ready to hear God's word? Ready to hear the authority that he has delegated to you? And the power that he has placed in your hands? I'm telling you something, we have shortchanged ourselves in our thinking. Because when our thinking is limited, our believer is limited. You know, and all you know is not half as much. The value, the real treasure, is down in your believer, not in your knower. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever knows about him, right? No. Okay. Whosoever believes in him. It all starts with believing. Praise God. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Obviously, they had an interpretation of reincarnation or something. But he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say he is? And Jesus answered and said to him, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You ever hear a little kid just come out in the back seat of the car and just say something, wow, where'd you get that? Well, you recognize when somebody's speaking a revelation, something that is deeply inside of them, that he recognized that as a revelation. Simon Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You know, I used to think this way. Well, first of all, let me just say, we'll take a deeper look into it in a few minutes. But the Greek text here, really, the original Greek says this. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you declare locked on earth is locked in heaven. And whatever you declare unlocked on earth is unlocked in heaven. That's what keys do. They lock stuff up and they open stuff up. They lock up doors, windows, gates, entryways, exit ways. So they lock things up and they also unlock things. That's what keys do. Now, one thing we have to know is that the heaven that Jesus is talking about, that he gave us the kingdom, the keys to, the kingdom of heaven, that heaven is not where God lives. That's not the heaven he's talking about. He's talking about the heaven, it's what Paul called in the heavenlies. You remember that says in Ephesians chapter 1 that you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? That means in the spirit realm, they are a reality. All the blessings of God are a reality in the spirit. We just got to learn how to loose them into the natural realm. This is what he's saying here, and I've given you the keys. He said, I've given you the keys to do it. Now, one thing that will help you understand this is that Peter is not the rock that he's going to build his church on. That would be a pretty unstable foundation, wouldn't it? That's in my estimation, anyhow. Not how Peter ended, but how he is right here. What did Peter have? He had a revelation of who Jesus is. Ah, that might be where he's going to start building. You know, where Jesus is standing, if you know anything about the Holy Land, Caesarea Philippi was built in the foothills of Mount Hermon, which is way north of the Sea of Galilee. And it was built on this massive, huge rock that was like 100 feet straight up and straight down, and it was about 500 feet wide. It's a massive rock. And when Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and... Remember? Who do men say that I am? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed that to you. You see, what people say to you, their opinions, you can learn a lot about people by who they listen to. If somebody comes in here and they're listening to is the news, well, I know pretty much where they are. They're deceived. Because the media lies to you. They have the keys of the kingdom of devil, the kingdom of death, the kingdom of deception. And that's what they're loosing on the earth is the devil's power. The devil is a liar, right? And the father of lies. And we know where all liars end up, right? That doesn't mean if you told a lie, you're going to hell. We were watching this Relationship University, and I think it was either Dwayne Sheriff or Andrew one night. He says, I know better than to answer my wife's question when she says, does this dress make me look fat? I know better than to answer that question. Because there's no good answer. So if you tell a lie, you're not going to, you know. But liars are when they are walking in deception, propagating it, openly lying, knowing they're lying, knowing that they are trying to control your thoughts. That's what lying is. And that's what Jesus is getting at later on in Revelation when he said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. But the heaven he's talking about is this spiritual realm around the earth where the holy angels are standing ready to draw their swords and fight for you. Just like around Damascus. Remember the pricker bush, that hedge of protection that was around, and Paul walked right into it? What he walked into was those drawn swords of angels ready to kill him or get him real saved. Saul of Tarsus was not going to get in there in the condition he was. So when he fell to the ground, Jesus appeared to him. He said, what happened there? What happened? God's kingdom was manifest because of the prayers of the saints in Damascus. These were praying people. You with me so far? Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say this, some say that. So he knows what they're listening to. Now he says, "What do you say? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter came up and he says, "My Father revealed that to you. You're blessed. And I tell you, you are Peter. You are Petra, Petros, in other words. You are Petros, which means a little stone. That's what that means. That's the Greek." And he says, "And upon this," and he pointed to this massive rock in which Caesarea Philippi is built upon. "On this massive rock, I will build my church." Now, you know what was on that massive rock? There were pagan statues all over that rock, and there was at least 14 different pagan temples. "And I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you." And he's pointing at all of these statues and pagan temples. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus rose from the dead and the disciples went on. They started casting out all of the false gods. Paul walked into Ephesus and he overturned Diana to the point, the goddess Diana, where they had this temple, and he overthrew it. He walked into Corinth, overthrew their gods. He walked into Philippi, cast the demon out, this divination and everything. Wherever they went, they just cast these demons out. It's no different now. We have to understand the power that we have. I'm going to get in this. Right now, in our prayers, in binding and loosing, to destroy the works of the devil in our government. To destroy the works of to bind him and break his power and get him out and start revealing truth that drives him out, because he has no defense for the Word of God. He has no defense for truth, and he has no defense against holy angels that will come and fight for us. But we are the ones who hold the key.
Right. Yes.
We are the ones with the keys of the kingdom. Not to the kingdom. Of the kingdom. You know, there's been a lot of shoplifting lately. We're running rampant in these cities and everything. People come in and... No, you could have the keys to this big store that has all these clothes and jewelry in it. You could have the keys to that and just be the cleaning service. But if you have the keys of that store, you not only have all the merchandise available to you, you have the safe and everything else. We have the keys of the kingdom, the keys that unlock the riches of his power and glory to go ahead and break in the gates of hell, but it comes by revelation. And you've got to walk in it knowing that you have been given these keys. Thank you for that thunderous silence.
Praise God.
Pray, huh? Too late.
I was writing.
Well, you know what? You can listen to this on the website, too, later on if you want to. Then you can take some notes. But that's what the Greek text says. That's what keys do. They open and close up. The keys of the kingdom. I got to get to the condensed version. Now, Dwight was mentioning it earlier about our words. Our mouth is the reaper, right? When we start saying what God says, building his truth into our heart, believing it, and then saying it, it comes to pass, right? Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Because we have to understand something. Jesus needs our words in order to effectively mediate the new covenant benefits on our behalf. He needs our words. Look at verse 1. It says, "Therefore, holy brethren," God calls you holy. You need to call yourself holy. I remember one time, it was shortly after we opened the church here. It was in March of 2016. And then a few months after that, you know, I was doing something in my reaction, whatever. And the words came to me, and you call yourself a pastor? And I didn't even get those words out of my mouth. You know what the Lord said? He says, no, you didn't call yourself a pastor. I did. It was like, whoa, get that out of your head. He called me that, yes. Not me. We weren't even looking to do this. And here we are. You may say, the thought may come to you, you call yourself a Christian? Oh, that's the accuser. The voice of God should come to you just as fast. No, you don't call yourself that. I call you that. You are mine and I am yours. You are mine. We are bone of bone and flesh of flesh. That's what it says in Ephesians 5, that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We have been born into the kingdom of God, translated out and delivered from the power of darkness. We are his. You need a revelation of that and be just as willing to hear that you are holy and that you are his. But he says, therefore, holy brethren, I'll get through this verse. Partakers of what? Where's the heavenlies? Here on the earth. In the spiritual realm of the earth, partakers of a spiritual calling in this earth. We have something to do, right? Consider. Oh, mull this over. Consider the apostle and high priest of our what? Confession. That's not confessing your sins. That's confessing your faith. Yeah. Yeah. The confession of our faith. That if you believe in your heart and say it with your mouth, you will be saved. That you confess Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The confession, the high priest, he's the apostle and the high priest of what? What we say. Our confession. Consider him. Jesus Christ is the apostle. What's an apostle? A sent one. Who said that? Yes. Okay, Barb. Thank you, Barbara. So he is a sent one, and he's a high priest. What's a high priest? A mediator, a go-between. He represents us to God, and he represents God to us. So he is sent to mediate our confession. We need to understand how powerful our words are, not only to each other, but to him and to in prayer. In our devotions, in our meditations, we need to be speaking the word of God. I'll give you an example, and we'll close with this because I can't get to the other stuff. Turn to Acts 27. This wasn't in there, Barbara, so you're going to have to hunt for it. Track it down. In this is when Paul got on a ship and they were heading out. And when he got on the ship, he says, sirs, this isn't going to happen good. He got a revelation inside of him that said, this ship's going down. But then things started catching up to him. And this, I'm trying to find it, darling. Let's start with 5. And when he had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia, and there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing to Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, I guess it is. Huh? Well, hold on, I'm getting there. And the wind wasn't allowing us, sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh where unto the city of Lycia. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, saying, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. And not only of the lading of the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of the and the owner of the ship more than the things of Paul. Then it ends up that they had to empty all the lading into, because they were, things were getting really bad. So they got all the weight off of the ship so they could sail right. And then, later on, Paul said this. He said, look, we need to do this. They kind of recognized an anointing on him, but they didn't believe him at first. Now the, and he said, here's what we got to do. Speaking up again. And he's saying, what we have to do is what the angel of the Lord just appeared to me and showed me what we have to do. Everybody has to stay on this ship and we need to run it aground. Otherwise, you're going to die. But if you do what I say, you'll all live. Now the guy recognized the anointing on him. This came by revelation. He saw the angel. But the thing is, if Paul didn't speak it, it wouldn't have come to pass. Jesus would have had nothing to work with. He had to declare, he had to receive that by faith, and he had to declare it. And when he did that, he had that revelation and started declaring it, the guy said, wait a second, this guy has something. And we don't have anything else. We might as well just believe him. And so they did. And they didn't lose a man. It crashed onto the land, and they didn't lose a man. Then when Paul was gathering sticks, snake came out and bit him. They were waiting for him to die, and he didn't die. And so they started worshiping him. Said, he's from Jupiter, and this guy's Mars. And they said, don't. They were going to make sacrifices to him. And he said, don't do this. And it was an open door to the gospel. Salvation came. All because of a revelation. Look, Peter had a revelation. With a revelation of who Jesus is, you have keys to lock the devil up and to loose the power of God. The one who has the revelation has the keys to kick in the gates of hell and let the power of God out and kick in the gates of hell. That's about all we got time for now. But, and I don't know if that helped you. But it sure helped me. Let me just say some things. This, I'm going to close with this. The devil doesn't care what you believe, what you think. He doesn't care about sincere thoughts. He doesn't care about good intentions. He doesn't care about any of that. What he cares about is what you say. Because if you, whether you believe that Jesus is the Lord or not, the devil doesn't care. As long as you be quiet about it. Because he has no defense for truth and he has no defense for faith. Until you speak it, all the sincere thoughts, all of the commitments and everything are still dormant. But when you speak it, and it, when you speak it in faith, it becomes a sword that he runs from. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. I'll close with this verse. It says this, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as what is written. How did Jesus defeat the devil? It is written. Yeah. It is written. I believe, therefore, I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Oh, believe it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Shout for joy. Clap your hands with a voice of triumph. And let the lion out. Don't sit there and let the devil just bash your mind in and conform it to his lies and his... He's got a problem. He's looking at right in the face. And he's right near the end of his time. Don't let him do that to you. You got to stand up and say, no! I'm going to give my high priest something. I am a son of the living God. I am a new creation in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I have a renewed mind. In fact, devil, I have the mind of Christ, the anointing. And I'm about ready to let that out. If you want to stay, enjoy this fireworks. It's going to stab you. But there is a lion I'm about ready to release on you. And you're not going to like it this time either. That lion already destroyed him. Amen. That was a fight of lions, wasn't it? Let the lion roar. All right. Oh, release it. And as you release it, you're releasing light. You are binding the devil and releasing the power of God to kick in those doors, the doors of temptation, the doors of ignorance, the doors of whatever. It's not your knower, it's your believer. You can be wrong up here, but your heart is right, and that's where he looks, right? I mean, what person in this world has everything together up here? None of us. I can speak for me, and I tell you, I don't. But what I believe is here. It's in the Word of God, and this he gave to me. Not so I could memorize it and make puzzles or something, but so that I can speak it. I can live it. I can walk it. I can believe it. I can walk in it. I can believe it. It's mine. Push, Manaki. Let's just go. Father, we thank you for the service. We thank you for all the worship. We thank you for your presence in that worship. We thank you, Father, that we can take the limits off and know that we can fearlessly approach every situation that you prompt us to speak, prompt us, lead us into. Thank you, Lord, that because we are fully equipped with a wonderful, powerful Savior, and through you we have the victory in every circumstance, every situation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. All your thoughts, all your good intentions, all your sincerity and commitment, and start giving voice to them. And so you will be binding and you will be declaring the end from the beginning. Every single situation that you face. Amen. All right. Amen. You are dismissed.